Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. On Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Piazza Premium Automobile Studios.
Powering your drive with 10 brands and 20 locations.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
That's right. It is Dom time. And the silliest law, I mean, this is top 10 country in all my years doing talk radio of craziness, silliness, petty tyranny, not understanding rural New Jersey, a bunch of city slickers telling people in Sussex County and other places, you got to put those bird feeders up, I think it was, to a height of 10 feet so that the bears can't get them. Okay. Well, that gave us Assemblyperson Dawn Fantasia, who has been incredible every time we've talked with her, particularly during the drones. So she places on Twitter, and we have the footage of this. You can take a look at this now at youtube.com/1210WPHT. Go to YouTube now. You'll see the footage from the bear-proof trash cans that apparently, if you don't get them, you're going to be fined. And
I think they're ridiculously expensive, too.
There are $300 to $400,
are you kidding
I think.
Me?
Yes, for a bear-proof trash can. I mean, I think I have to get out to Sussex County and scare those bears away or outrun them.
Oh, sure, yeah.
That will be the help. So let's go.
You got to ask Dawn that right out of the box.
I will. Okay, right out of the box.
Right out of the gate.
Dawn
yeah.
Fantasia. Look, Dawn, these guys never end up here. Just because I've said a few times, I could run, beat a bear running down Ridge Avenue. I was at a remote at a diner, and it just came up somehow or another. Come on, I could.
I think she needs, as an elected official, to be the responsible one here and yeah. say, as a public service, yeah. no, Dawn, there's absolutely no way you can beat a bear in a race. Dawn?
Dawn, have you ever seen a bear, first of all?
Have I ever seen a bear? Oh, boy. Seeing a bear is a non-event in Sussex County. You know, going to battle with a bear and trying to get a bear to go up a tree when you're trying to get your kid off the bus, that's more the norm up by us.
What the heck is going on? Where in the world are you from, Dawn? My God.
North, yonder north.
Okay.
But, yeah.
So you think I can beat the bear then? That's what I heard you say.
You know what? I do not recommend it. I would definitely advise again.
If you have bears this commonly at your avail, can you set it up, Dawn? And you know, somehow grab one of these bears and we can make it happen?
We could do a race. We certainly could.
Perfect.
We could.
All right. I'm down for that. Probably throw a football 40 yards to another bear. It'll be a combo. So, Dawn, what a use of Twitter, though, showing now how expensive are these, quote, bear-proof trash cans?
Well, the one that you see, that little gem that screws on, that's the bargain version. That's $149. Now, if you want to go up in plastic to the creme de la creme of the bear-proof can, that's $549.
Oh,
and then they have steel ones beyond that. So, you know, the joke is with these little screw-on ones, there's two ways the bears get it off. One, the video that I posted where a bear, nice as you please, is figured out. Just rotate it. It'll come off. Or what they do is they lay it on its side and they put their full weight on top of it multiple times until the lid shoots off almost like a projectile, and then they could get, because then the threads disengage themselves, and then they could get the trash out. So, I mean, case in point, there is no such thing as a bear-proof can, and problematically, this legislation wants to fine you up to $1,000, and it says nothing about good faith effort if you had one of these cans and you know, spent your life savings to bear proof your property. It says nothing about being immune. So that's what led me to post yesterday. I was visiting my parents in their neighborhood in the next town over, a bear had gotten into the bear-proof can that screws off, and all the garbage is strewn everywhere. My dad actually went over and picked up all the garbage for the neighbor and put it back in the can, screwed the lid back on, and I didn't check in to see this morning if there was a round two. But this is what happens. This is what happens, and then you have your Phillips, and you have your Sterley Stanley assemblyman down from East Brunswick, who seem to think it's within their purview to tell us how to manage our wildlife or how to manage our trash when we're faced with this.
So is there any corruption in addition to that between the bear proof and somebody, do you think? Or that this is just
like I'm looking at this,
arrogance.
Dom, and I hate to be a conspiracy theorist, but I see these bins here. There, Dom, there's like state forcing people to buy these bins. It seems fishy.
No, my gut is telling me no. I'm not saying that there's not money to be made here as towns strike deals and, you know, with different manufacturers of these, but I don't think that's the impetus of it. This all came, honestly, from anti-hunting groups.
Yeah.
That's exactly where this came from, because they want to portray the entire problem as it being so easily managed, just, you know, lock up your garbage. And don't get me wrong, if you have a means to, if you have a secure garage, I mean, bears have breached garage doors and homes and cars, but if you have something very secure, it makes sense. You're not supposed to leave your trash out or leave food strewn about. However, you need to take into consideration that fining your residents because of a wildlife issue and then mandating that we cannot reduce the population, which is sound and science-backed in a comprehensive black bear management plan. This kills me when this kind of stupidity comes from urban areas. And they're always urban Democrats that get these pie-in-the-sky ideas after talking to anti-hunting groups.
Dawn, is this, I look, as you probably know, every time you're on, I look toward the governor's race, and I hear you. This is not just about bears. This is about a broader issue that a Republican can make the case of. We're sick and tired of these progressives, big city types, trying to, when they have out of control cities, Newark and the like, trying to dictate to you how to deal with bears that they know absolutely nothing about.
100%. And the way I look at it is I believe we should have a coalition of rural lawmakers that pass legislation that every time we find a cigarette butt on the sidewalk, because we don't have many sidewalks up here in Sussex, but let's say a sidewalk ordinance that when we find a cigarette butt in Patterson or in Newark, we're going to charge your residents $1,000.
You know,
we can even the playing field here because we don't have that issue. So, again, it's nonsensical. They need to look inward to their own. Believe me, they have enough issues that they need to deal with in their own cities than to worry about our wildlife and our trash.
And speaking of that, Dawn, if you had to handicap it on the other side, you know Jersey politics obviously better than I among the Republicans. Would they, in the polling, it's so many of them and so close, the mayor of Newark appears to be, I don't know if it's name recognition or not, the leader. The people that I like Harry Hurley, who come on and quarterback this, tell me Gottheimer would be the one in the end who might be the biggest threat to winning. What do you say?
You know, it's very hard to tell because the polling is all over the place. I do think that there's a benefit to get an extraordinarily progressive, citified mayor who is completely out of touch with the rest of the state. That would be very good for the Republican side. I think that Mikey Sherrill poses somewhat of a threat because she does pose herself as if she's just a real moderate, middle-of-the-road suburban mom, and anything could be nothing could be further from the truth. She's just as radical as Ross Baraka. You're looking at your Gottheimers and your Sweeneys as, quote-unquote, the more moderate end of the Democrat field. But to be honest, their polling is so tight and they release a lot of internal polling. And we know what happens when we see internal polls. Right. So to be honest, I do think it's a toss up at this point. I wouldn't even want to make that prediction.
Anger in New Jersey, though, do you still feel it as we creep toward the primaries and then beyond? Is that going to fuel it? A lot of it, too. We saw in the last election, astoundingly, how well President Trump did. And yet you do have some Republican, well, at least one, Bramnick, who is kind of the anti-Trump guy.
Well, you know, we keep having these issues where the Democrats are called out for their ineffectiveness at the state level. Look at the wildfires, for instance, where my colleague, Assemblyman Mike Inganimort, had been repeatedly asking for a hearing on wildfire management, on controlled burns, and they ignore what comes from our side so many times. Then, when something like what just happened with the wildfires in Ocean County, Barnegat, we have Democrats, and their first response is, you know what, it's Trump. Trump is the problem. He's the one that's going to cut funding. And look at how much funding we need to manage. So their go-to is tired, and the people understand that these fairy tale projected cuts have not happened, if they're going to even happen at all. So the answer will never be pointing outward. Same thing with the electric rate hikes. The answer is point your finger directly back at you. We've been under Democrat stranglehold for 20 plus years. The problem is you. You're the problem. So they need to understand that. And the more they deflect, the more irritated conservatives and moderates get. We're not stupid people. I'm sorry. New Jerseyans tend to be the sharpest tack. So they better get it together, or in actuality, I hope they don't get it together. Keep doing it. Never interrupt the other side when they're making a mistake.
That's exactly right. You mentioned the wildfires. You must have read my mind. It was next here. The number I saw was 15,000 acres. I guess it's even more at this point. They have a suspect of interest. They've arrested someone, a 19-year-old, who just sets stuff on fire. And Correct. Are you happy with, is the response good enough? In addition to what you said, the control burn before this, there seems to be some communications or some difficulty. At least that's what we hear here, that people are concerned about that.
Well, again, that's, you know, not my neck of the woods. I'm way up northwest, and I understand that's more sure. But, you know, I take my hat off. I tip my hat to all of those firemen and all of those fire agencies that go in and try to battle this. When there is miscommunication, perhaps at a higher up level, I would never, you know, weigh in on that or pass judgment on that, because it's not within my purview. What I can say is that with correct funding, you know, New Jersey seems to have enough money to throw around to fund swanky art museums and, you know, benefits for those who are here in this country illegally. How about we direct some of that money to critical services like fire services, like dams, like that bill? It was like pulling teeth. It was a root canal to get my bill across the finish line, and, you know, to even get Democrat sponsors to jump on something that's so critical to life and limb. It blows your mind when you think about where their priorities are. So to circle back to what you had said, they have a big problem if their answer is pointing fingers and not taking accountability for their own inaction.
Parting question for you. You knew I had. We haven't talked in a while. The drone thing. Has that gone away? Are we all resolved? Has it gone into the mist? We don't hear about it as much.
No, it's not resolved. And I think it offered some level of comfort when the president had said, no, this was, you know, authorized prior. However, I don't necessarily think that was a full comfort, because why on earth, if this was FCC approved, stamped, we know that it's happening, why on earth would all of these agencies, including military agencies and police agencies, not be aware of this? So there are still missing parts. There is still drone activity. It has not gone away. The answers have gone away, however. So, again, I anticipate with the nicer weather, I'll be up in the sky, and we'll just have to watch and see what develops.
Where do we find you, Dawn? And, again, it is priceless, other than that you guys have to deal with that in Sussex County. The stuff you put up on Twitter, though, has an element of humor of these buffoons and having to pay $300 or $400 for trash cans. By the way, I didn't see any do people, you know, I paint the address on my trash can in Philadelphia. You put a $300 or $400 trash can out in Philadelphia. Oh, man, you're going to see bears or not. That's going to be gone in 2 seconds.
Well, you know, maybe it's not as concentrated of a population, so maybe. But I mean, the cans could get legs and walk away. They certainly could. Yeah, they could.
Exactly. Where do we find you, Dawn?
On Twitter, DawnFantasia_NJ, and then you can just look me up on Facebook, Assemblywoman Dawn Fantasia.
Thank you, Dawn. Have a nice weekend. Thanks for coming on, as always.
Thank you. Take care.
Dawn Fantasia here on Talk Radio 1210. From the bird feeder story to the bears now and the $300, $400 trash cans. How can we lose to the Democrats in this race? I don't think it's going to happen for governor. But Jersey, you know, is difficult. It's all there to win. I wish President Trump would endorse in this. I'd love to see that in the Republican primary. Might not be necessary. I think Chetarelli's going to win. And I think he'll do well in the general election. But they still have the registration event. We got Scott Presler, though. All right, phone lines are 855-83. Oh, Frank in Burlington's got a great one. And Lance in South Philly, I was telling Roe about him and the squirrel. Keep your powder dry, Lance. We may need you back. You know, we should have called him when we had the groundhog thing last year.
Why not call Lance?
Well, I didn't remember. We didn't have the thing. We trapped it ourselves, if you can
imagine.
This
is a man that comes out of retirement for Dom Giordano.
Well, that's true, too. Lance, we had to give that number. We got to keep it handy. We had to trap these groundhogs ourselves. That was the deal. They gave us the cages and all, then they disposed of it in the country.
No, you can't do that.
But we had to trap them. You have to shut the thing and all. I mean, it was not.
That can't be the standard, right?
Oh, apparently it is.
No, because there's like rabies and stuff that these experts have to deal with.
Roe was the one that marched in, not me. I said the same thing you did, Dan. I took the same stance. There's rabies there and everything. Look at these groundhogs.
I kind of want to figure out this answer real quick, whether or not it's standard. Do you want to take one?
Yeah, sure. Let me go to Lance here on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Lance. Hey, Lance.
Yes, sir.
Hey, first, give us your Nepo baby. I think this is a real good one.
Well, I'm down here in the gritty streets at B and Allegheny, so this is where I'm at, so it was a little loud. It's Hunter Biden. I just can't take it.
Oh, yeah. White privilege, white privilege. Yes.
Yeah, the paintings, he gets kicked out the Naval Academy, the Russia thing where he gets paid to do nothing, and he admits that he doesn't know anything, and he still gets paid.
And then the cocaine in the White House, it wasn't his.
Well, he says it wasn't his.
Yeah, exactly right.
Lance, in your professional life, if you had a guy that called you out to remove some groundhogs, would you just throw him some cages and say, capture him yourself, I'll be back later to gather him?
No. When you set cages, now some companies will say, you know, once it's caught, give us a call. But I never do that. I come back normally every 2 or 3 days, and I never leave them over the weekend. So Friday evening, I pick them up or I close them, and I come back Monday and I reset them. But I never give a customer a cage and say, go for it. Never, ever, never.
I imagine him like Carl Stackler just following the groundhog through every area.
Well, Lance, so I will call you in the air the next. The Denise groundhogs were burying right under the house. I don't know how near the foundation they were. So there were three of them, too. I mean, this was a massive operation.
Well, you know, the male never stays with the female. He only makes the babies.
Oh, one of those things. I got
that's horrible. He just ditches the wife.
So, which is more problematic to catch and deal with, then, the male or the female?
Normally it's the male.
Okay.
Like that, because the female is easy because she's normally hungry, because you know she may need to feed the babies. But the male, he can get food anywhere. You know, he can get food anywhere. Tearing up a garden. He doesn't care. He doesn't care. But the best thing for them is deterrence.
Okay, and what's that mean?
You can put up fencing.
Okay.
You can put up fencing, stucco mesh, chicken wire. But you got to make sure that the stakes go down deep enough and they're screwed to the post because they can be pretty strong.
Sounds like you got to hire this guy.
You know what, Lance? We may have to have you out here. Rose setting the garden up again. You know, I'll have your...
Oh, they'll destroy it.
Yeah, I have your beverage of choice ready. I mean, I'm serious. I'll let you know because we can't go through this again. This was touch and go. Hunter Biden's a great one, though, Lance. Thank you. Thanks very much.
Oh, no problem. No problem at all.
That's going to be hard to beat. I see another one here, but Hunter Biden, I've said many times, they talk about privilege. He's the face of it. Lance is just an unbelievable caller. That guy's really, well, it's a male. He just, you know, he has what he wants to do, and he's gone. He doesn't care about the female in the cage. He's gone.
He makes the babies and gets it.
That's he makes the babies, yeah. All right, coming up, yeah, Pam Bondi, I was waiting for this, has now verified they did arrest this judge, and you see her coming out the back door in Milwaukee, who aided and abetted somebody here illegally that was in her courtroom getting away from ICE. These people just are not going to get it. And they're going to be locked up. They locked up the judge in New Mexico and the wife, because they had a not just an illegal alien, they had the guy from the Venezuelan gang living in their house. So is Kash Patel going to go knocking on the door of Phil Murphy's mansion? Remember, Phil told us he had someone there living in that manner. Then he didn't say they were there still. He kind of backed away. Kash, I think you ought to check that out. Well, the state police won't let you. Lock them up too then. I mean, come on. Does Phil Murphy have somebody illegal?
I have that audio.
In his house? Murphy? All right, here's Murphy.
Yeah, here's Murphy. Yeah.
Tammy and I were talking about, I don't want to get into too much detail, but there's someone in our broader universe whose immigration status is not yet at the point that they are trying to get it to. And we said, you know what, let's have her live at our house above our garage. And good luck to the feds coming in to try to get her.
This guy, is it Miss Kim? We still don't know. And you got haircuts every day then. All right, Kash Patel, that's next. We'll play you Pam Bondi talking about this judge arrested in Milwaukee. 855-839-1210. That's how you get in. All right, Dom Giordano's show. Welcome in. So as I said, we have this judge in Milwaukee, and I saw her being arrested by the FBI, taken out the back door, apparently aiding and abetting someone who was here in her courtroom illegally, stopping them from ICE. Of course, we have the other instance of the Venezuelan gang member living in the house of a judge and a wife. Both of them are locked up. And then we have this cop in Philadelphia who, as I understand it, was just trying to help this guy in a translating kind of way. And he gets caught up that as a Philadelphia cop, he's trying to hand them over to ICE. And they're going after him, not the guy that's here illegally. They're hunting him down. The mob's here in Philadelphia. Inquirer's got like 10 printed pages today on Fred Herron. And every cockamamie, illegal immigrant, whiny advocate group going after Fred Herron, who's one of my people of the year, for what he's doing in Bucks County. And he's not going to back down on this. He's doing the right thing. He's keeping people in Bucks County safe. He deserves an award, which I hope he'll accept at Mulligan's. You know, we'll get him down there.
A long tease.
I wish I had like a hotel that said, and you come all the way to shore, you get to stay over the weekend or something. I'm working on that behind the scenes.
Spoiler alert.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. That would be, I love that. Could you see the Mulligan's wing? So Fred Herron under fire, not these people, out of kindness, this judge. You're going to hear that as the excuse. She's got to be taken out as a judge, and she's got to be put in jail. Here is Pam Bondi breaking some of this news on Fox.
According to this complaint, Judge Diggin was visibly angry that ICE was there to arrest Flores Ruiz, even tried to kick the deportation agents out of the courthouse.
Yeah, and to set the stage for you and Sandra, this was truly horrific. This guy was in court being prosecuted by a state prosecutor for domestic violence battery. He had beat up two people, a guy and a girl, beat the guy, hit the guy 30 times, knocked him to the ground, choked him, beat up a woman so badly they both had to go to the hospital. And John, you know, it's so rare for victims to want to cooperate. They wanted to cooperate. They were sitting in the courtroom with the state prosecutor. The judge learns that ICE was outside to get the guy because he had been deported in 2013, came back in our country, commits these crimes, charged with committing these crimes, victims in court. Judge finds out. She goes out in the hallway, screams at the immigration officers. She's furious, visibly shaken, upset, sends them off to talk to the chief judge. She comes back in the courtroom. You're not going to believe this. Takes the defendant and the defense attorney back in her chambers, takes them out of private exit and tells them to leave. State prosecutor and victims of domestic violence are sitting in the courtroom.
Wow.
You know,
here's the thing with Garcia. Here's the choke point with these progressives, with these Democrats. Pam Bondi just said it there. And that is, they're beating up women, and yet this crazed judge still, they'll give her an award. Takes him out through a private exit. Can you just imagine? And they're stunned because they're being locked up. Here's a little bit more of Pam Bondi on Fox.
To them.
We are going to prosecute you, and we are prosecuting you. I found out about this the day it happened. We could not believe, actually, that a judge really did that. We looked into the facts in great depth. That's her picture up on the screen, Hannah Dugan, who is now in custody. You cannot obstruct a criminal case, and really, shame on her. It was a domestic violence case of all cases, and she's protecting a criminal defendant over victims of crime.
In fact,
and finally, this is the New Mexico situation where you have, somehow or another, this alleged Venezuelan, the Notorious One gang member, living with a judge who's out now, and his wife, and both of them, including the wife. Maybe, I don't know if it's related to the wife or not, and that's why he did it. Imagine not just anybody here illegally, but somebody that's this gang, the Notorious gang. And both of them now have been arrested. Here's Bondi.
That the person that they were having living at their home was a truly potentially bad individual.
Yeah, that's the judge up on the screen now who got arrested. Yeah, his name is Ortega. He was a known TDA member, known TDA member. So he comes through Eagle Pass December 2023. He's living in our country. January 2025, ICE, they get a tip. Tom Homan's done a great job. Our FBI did a great job on this case, too. They get a tip that he is living with a judge and the judge's wife. So they have him arrested first on immigration charges. Mm-hmm. A judge, Damian Martinez, releases him saying that Judge Cano has a good BS meter and wouldn't let just anyone live on his property.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, when you look at the associations with this violent Venezuelan gang, Tren de Aragua, and this person that they harbored in their home, he was showing signs through clothing, we were told, tattoos. There was evidence through voice messages and text messages of his association to TDA. So what charges will Cano and his wife face, if any?
So Judge Cano, soon to be former Judge Cano, his charges were just unsealed. He's charged with obstruction. He is charged. He admitted post-Miranda. He took one of the TDA members' cell phones himself, took it, beat it with a hammer, destroyed it, and then walked the pieces to a city dumpster to dispose of it to protect him. The wife also is charged with destroying evidence. Sandra, not only that, this TDA member, and he had on a necklace that said kill, something about death. He had tattoos all over him. He also had on his cell phone pictures of two decapitated victims. Victims decapitated, gruesome photos, and he was sending them out, and whoever he was sending them to was sending back saying, hey, you need to be careful. You shouldn't be sending these. You shouldn't be texting these photos out. Not only that, the judge and his wife gave him assault rifles that belong to their daughter. That's what they're charged with. In the criminal report affidavit, he goes to a shooting range with these assault rifles, with a suppressor, with other known TDA members, and they're shooting.
Okay. If we can't beat these progressives, then we're doing something wrong on the other side. You talk about layup after layup after layup. All right? This should be the point of emphasis of President Trump in these first 100 days. You heard O'Reilly with me, making America safe again. Making America great again, but safe again. Right on top of this. Just in the last 3 minutes or so of what we played you. Democrat judge out the other exit with a guy there for beating a woman. And these two, the judge and the wife, I'm glad they went after the wife too. Destroying evidence, the phone, decapitations. I don't hear Madeline Dean. Madeline, I thought you were going to El Salvador. Is your husband working on a bike deal with them, maybe a sweatshop there? How come you're not in El Salvador yet? Why do we give up on Mr. Garcia so much? Come on, Madeline. The people in Montgomery County want you to be there in El Salvador. Remember you told us that your son and you could be taken in, disappeared? You have a tattoo. He has tattoos. What do you have to say about the judge and the other judge? Wow. Even for the progressive side, this is a banner day. All right, we'll get your reaction. More coming up, too, on nepotism. I really like the Hunter Biden answer so far. Any good ones on Twitter, Dan, that you happen to see, or Henry, you happen to see any that are
pulling it up
plausible?
Now.
Yeah.
Marcus Aurelius, man.
Yeah.
He says former Philly fire chief Joe Rizzo. He's going to get in trouble for saying that.
You can argue that. And Rizzo said, well, who am I, should I put in charge of it, you know, if not my brother?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think he was capable, but he did get kind of jumped over by others who were in line.
How about Charlie Sheen?
I think Charlie Sheen has talent, but yeah, he did. He was one of that group, the Brat Pack, right?
Yeah, Martin.
Yeah.
Emilio.
Yeah.
Emilio!
Yeah. So if you have talent, you're able to do it. And I'd say that he does in staying power. It's still nepotism.
I'd ask, who's the bigger Nepo baby? Is it Emilio or is it Charlie?
Emilio.
No, it's Charlie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, what's the standard, you know, result of Nepo babies a lot of time? You look at Hunter Biden with the craziness of the addictions such.
Okay.
And then you look at Emilio. What was the prodigal son thing that we talked about last time?
Yes. All right.
I think Charlie's kind of the prodigal one.
Coming around to the prodigal son. The next time I hear that in church, Father, what about Charlie Sheen and Emilio? I just want to know what your stance is on
that.
What
are your thoughts on the Sheen?
On the Sheen family, yes. 855-839-1210. You can get on board. Jump in right now. Let's talk about... let's talk about spring is here. Don't let stiff or achy joints hold you back. Rescue Natural Supplements is proud to bring you Rescue Glyco Plus. Now, this incredible supplement is specially formulated to support joint comfort and flexibility with a powerful blend of green-lipped muscle complex and UC2 collagen. This unique combination helps maintain the healthy cartilage, produce smoother, more comfortable joint movement. Right now, Rescue Glyco Plus is buy one, get one free for anyone with our exclusive radio offer. Just use the code RELIEF, R-E-L-I-E-F, to double up your order for free. Again, that's R-E-L-I-E-F. Call them today at 800-26-ALIVE, 800-262-5483. Speak to a knowledgeable Rescue product consultant. You can also use the code online when you visit res-q.com. That's res-q.com. Get back into action with less pain, more comfort. Again, just use the code RELIEF. Buy one, get one free on Rescue Glyco Plus. All right, this is Dom in the On Deck Circle. Our TV guy, Neil Zorin's got a lot to report this week, and so do we. Anniversary of Chernobyl was Saturday, and that great HBO series might be a side question on Monday. Frank in Burlington on the side question today. All right, Frank, who do you have that's a Nepo baby?
I think one of the, and listen, I'm going to be honest with you. When I listen to Lance, I have to agree with him too. God's honest, sure, I wish I would have thought of that, quite honestly. But I think Bronny James, of LeBron James, he was a mediocre player at best for USC. 4.8 points a game, 2.8 rebounds, 2 assists. The guy was like, and he goes in the second round. Like, how does that happen without your dad being named LeBron James? It just doesn't.
No, it doesn't. And then you make the cut. You're on the team still, too, just to, you know. They think, look, it's a deep bench player. We got to do anything we can with LeBron. So that's what happens. That's got to be tense, though, on your own team. I mean, that's not good.
I would think. And I know you would know a lot more about basketball than I do. It just, to me, even like from my perspective, was like, are you freaking kidding me? This is crazy. The other thing, too, you were talking about was Shedeur Sanders and this idea of racism. Cam Ward is the number one pick.
Right.
In the draft. He's a black guy. So, like, how are you even suggesting that it's about color? Like it's okay if you have a bunch of white guys.
Yeah, they're claiming because he wears jewelry or he talks like a rapper, they don't want him. And you and I know the NFL is down to the most minuscule edge they can get. The Eagles took Jalen Carter when no one else would because of the upside, but we know what he did, what he was involved in. So they'll do anything to get an edge. So they're going to take this guy if there's the slightest edge. Yeah, thank you, Frank. That's a great one. Bronny James. All right, coming up, our TV guy, Neil Zorin. We got several things. I like, and I'm very late to it. I've only seen season 2, a couple of episodes.
Yeah, we got to get Neil's thoughts on that.
Right.
You can't do that. You can't do that,
I get the plot very quickly.
No, you can't. I know you understand the plot, but you miss out. So Sorry.
What are you talking about?
No, you can't jump in.
Henry, you guys picked up this conversation in season two.
Dom started The Last of Us in season two, just starting and picking it up with season two without feeling the need to watch season one.
Neil's going to
join a show halfway through it.
Yeah, well, of course you can. What are you supposed to do? You can't keep up on everything.
Oh,
you guys are such sticklers with all the, don't say that. That might be a spoiler alert.
You're selling yourself short.
Well, if I have time, I'll go back and view it. I don't need to. I just like the one episode so much. It's the best episode I've seen of anything in the last 2 months that I can't mention or talk about until I get the all clear.
With my OCD, I cannot get behind the idea of just picking up a show on season two.
Yeah, no,
I can't say how bad the ending of the Conclave is. That's a spoiler alert. There's nothing I can say. All right, so Neil, you'll get to rule on this. Be ready right out of the box, and we'll also talk Chernobyl's anniversary. The happening is on Saturday. That HBO series, though, is beautifully done. Biggest indictment you can find of communism and authoritarianism. Beautifully done. All right. It's important to make sure that our families have the essentials, food, shelter, and of course, pure, clean drinking water. A lot of news about drinking water these days. Just do what I did. Count on Martin Water Conditioning. They'll secure your family's drinking water. The Connecticut system. That removes all the impurities from your water. What comes out of that tap is crystal clear, all-natural water. Best tasting water ever. Great in tea or just drinking straight up. It provides peace of mind knowing that your family's water is pure and clean. Now, the Martin Water Conditioning family, passionate about water, 46 years of experience. And when they send out one of their guys or women, the customer service, first of all, they know. You don't want someone tramping through the house. They change their shoe, the whole process, immaculate. And then the test, the critical free water test. It shows you the impurities in your water, and then the test that shows the solution. Contact Martin Water Conditioning. Get that done. Take care of it. MartinWater.com or 800-887-7555. 800-887-7555.
Everybody's got to go to shrinks and counselors.
This is not good. Worlds are colliding.
The work is bullshit.
The work is mysterious and important.
Pivot! Pivot!
And now, Neil Zorin with What's on TV.
That's much better produced than the previous one. That's good stuff. Dan and I just back going by Baltimore trying to see the Domino's Sugar sign, which we did not.
We were so corny.
Yeah.
We were pulling up on the docks down in Baltimore. It's like, oh, it's the wire. Yeah, where's the Domino? Yeah.
And I still say that was Stephen Miller. I'm ready to prove it on Monday. I have a team working on that. All right. Mr. Neil Zorin, our TV guy, is with us and might have a film, too. Conclave is streaming now, big time. Let's go to Neil. So, Neil, I like The Last of Us, and I've just seen two episodes, season two. I don't need to go back and understand. I've seen enough zombie movies.
It's so wrong.
It's not about the zombies. I will tell you this. The zombies are particularly fast in this, though, and I'm not sure about that.
Well, first of all, I would go back to season one if I were you, because one of the things that season one does for The Last of Us is provide a lot of texture. You learn a lot about the Fireflies. You learn a lot about before there are zombies, people look fairly normal. You see different things about the virus, and I think you understand more and you get more texture if you watch season one. Saying that, season two comes on strongly. I mean, I think today's installment's going to upset a lot of people because there's a major event in today's in part two. I'm sure you know it because you watched it. I don't want to give a spoiler alert for that, but I'm wondering about how that affects everything and how that, I know there are flashbacks and things so that a character that is disappearing will return in other episodes. But basically, I think I liked season one better. And I'll tell you why. Season one was more like a video game, but a good video game. And I think it provided a lot of situations, a lot of characters. Season two, I'm seeing the politics slip in a little bit more. The psychiatrist, played by Catherine O'Hara, brilliantly, by the way, eliciting something from Joel, the lead character, played by Pedro Pascal. And I'm saying, oh, my God, it's turning into 21st century finally, and some of the byplay between that is going to happen with Ellie, the character played by my blank on her name. That's terrible. I see that too, and so I'm a little worried about part two and seeing how it's going to play out in the end. I'm seeing little snatches of sort of modernity that I did not see in in part one. Well, so here's what I would do if I were you. I would go watch two of season one. And then go back because it's episodic. Remember,
yes.
It's on HBO, so you're going to have to watch it a new episode each week instead of being able to stream it. So, but you can stream season one. So I would go back and catch up, and then you'll see how things really develop in season two.
All right,
of Abby, by the way, is interesting in season two, right. And I'm interested in her.
Dan saying it, but the guy who told me about Ozark, Neil Zorn, yeah, I got to do it. I mean, it's like, can't go wrong there for eternity.
And like True Detective, it makes sense when you got a new story every season. But when you're talking something that's an ongoing from the first season, come on.
Okay. Neil, Chernobyl's anniversary, 4/26/86. Hard to believe it was 39 years ago. And I don't know when HBO, I think it was 2019. Richie and I talked about nothing else but all going in the world, particularly the scene where the local Communist Party gets them all stirred up and says, hell no, we're not going to admit to anything. And they all throw a shot of vodka back and jump up and down, and that's what they're going to do. You talk about a compelling series that really showed where Soviet Union, what was going on and what it leads to.
Well, I think that's true, but I think it goes beyond that. I think the great thing about Chernobyl is it really covered dramatically everything on all the fronts, the domestic front of people involved in it, the overall picture in the town of Chernobyl and in the immediate area of the Ukraine, and I think definitely the political parts of it from the very beginning when I think the very first scene, or one of the first scenes in it is the person who was in charge of the plant that night denying anything happening, wanting people to go down and put out fire someplace where it was already impossible. It's already gone by. And also it has one of the best opening lines. I remember the opening line because I used to quote it a lot, and it was, what is the cost of lies? And basically it says that lies have told often enough, make us fail to recognize the truth, and then we begin the stories. And it seems like so much that's happening today in what we can call fake news or news in general about, I don't know that they're lies, but they are positions instead of news. And so I think that Chernobyl is onto something with that too. But definitely it's indictment of the Soviet Union, indictment of everything. Unfortunately, the other thing that was indicted in Chernobyl and at Fukushima a few years later was nuclear energy, which I believe, if I were president, I would push nuclear energy. I think it is the cheapest, safest, and except for those two problems, which were really caused by bad construction by the governments. I mean, the Soviet Union put no protections on Chernobyl, and Fukushima was just built where one plant where the plant was on a different platform that they reversed.
Right.
Nothing would have happened. But the great thing is the show, and I think people should go back and watch Chernobyl because not only is it good from a political point of view, it's fabulous storytelling.
Yeah,
and I always credit that for being a British production.
Wanted to get one more in here, Neil. Now. Conclave, Dan, you did see it by now. I know Henry saw it.
No, I haven't. Talked
about it. Oh, I still haven't seen it. Okay.
Homework,
so we can't say how bad.
No, you know what? Put your fingers in your ears if you haven't seen the ending yet. Then I guess
spoiler alert.
I'm not going to say what it is exactly, but I've never seen a film that I thought was great and then degenerate. Not just the ending, but toward the ending, they had it. Neil and Ralph Fiennes is just incredible in it. And one of the reasons is I believe this is exactly what they're going to be doing. It's fraudulent, the whole process. It's the politics of it that's more political than anything in the world.
Of course. what Conclave shows you, and Conclave is a good movie, and I agree with you with the ending, although there is Parasite, the best picture of 2019, right, to show you how things can change in the middle and turn from decent to horrible. And I don't mean horrible in the sense of a horror film. I mean horrible in terms of, yuck, I want to vomit and walk out of the theater. But I don't feel that way about Conclave. I don't like the ending of Conclave because I think it's smartass. I think it is, again, very 21st century and
modernity. Sort of done, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Done for the sake of saying letting people walk out of the office. Oh, what a good boy are we for watching this? But from the point of view of the politics, Conclave is a wonderful movie in terms of, especially Ralph Fiennes. I think terrible performances by Stanley Tucci and John Lithgow. They just took their money and walked through it. But Fiennes and Isabella Rossellini and a lot of the European actors are wonderful in it. But what it does most is show you that nobody, including a pope, except maybe for George Bergoglio, the George Bergoglio who just died as Pope Francis I. Except for that, nobody gets to the top without stabbing people in the back, without throwing people off balconies, and without threatening and saying we're going to expose this. How do you think Barack Obama got Joe Biden out of office? So I think it's a good show to watch based on that, and it's certainly current today. You know, the viewership of Conclave went up more than almost 300% this week. I think with 280%, it watched like 7 million hours. People watched 7 million hours of it. And the other thing that went up this week very, very high was the first season of The Last of Us, which had a 150% increase, which we're going to add to.
And Neil, the next time you're on, I will have watched a lot of it. Where did we find you until then, Neil?
You'll find me in the Delaware County Daily Times and related papers.
Thank you, Neil. Thanks very much for full stuff today. A lot of good stuff to watch. All right, coming up at 2:30, we haven't talked to Ian Pryor in a long time. And Dan, he called it the what did he call them? The particular wine with gorilla in it.
Yeah.
Chablis, gorillas, something like that. These people in the suburbs, politically correct. He's involved in that case in Maryland where they told parents, many of the Muslim parents, no, you can't opt out with your pre-K child of a book with characters in drag and bondage and everything else that was the meat of the Supreme Court this week. It'll give you a full sense of what that testimony was about, what's happened there. Dom's Money Melody we'll get to too. Here's how you get in, 855-839-1210.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.